If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe.
Every paper prints the damn betting line. You know, all anybody talks about is the point spread. Every local TV show prognosticator, every two-bit local columnist, I mean, even the average Joe man on the street, all they talk about is the damn point spread. And you know what? It sucks. Take, for instance, this week's game. I think your team's favored by 10 points. Now, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that your team is ahead by more than 10 points. The last play happens to be a pass in the direction of a certain D.D. defensive back. He goes up to break up the play, but unfortunately, he trips. Damn AstroTurf! And as he valiantly falls to the ground, the receiver catches a meaningless touchdown pass. Now, unfortunate as that may be, his team still wins the game. But they just do it by less than 10 points.
The man is a gambler. He got over his head in debt. He owed me money and he refused to pay. He avoided me. That's why you should never gamble, Anthony.
Marge? I want you to admit you have a gambling problem.
You know, you're right, Homer. Maybe I should get some professional help.
No, that's too expensive. Just don't do it anymore.
I'm telling you, go to the store, get a six-pack, get yourself a cigar and a roll of toilet paper. Because when you see the thing, you're going to
Let's get ready to gamble!
You have a gambling problem.
A double shot of X tonight. X is going to double team you tonight. We're bringing back on Mr. X and X2 after last week. Great run last week. And I decided, boys, to unload not all the gambling sound bites I have in my inventory, but a good 7 or 8 of them in a row. Did you enjoy that?
I didn't know where all of them came from, but okay.
The first one was from Arliss, an HBO television show that X2 was way before your time, I would guess. It's in standard definition if you want to go find it somewhere.
Standard def, what's that?
Yeah? Have you ever seen Arliss?
I have never heard of. I don't
okay.
Really know what standard def is. I'm way over my head.
What year were you born, X2?
97, so.
Yeah. Well, so high def kind of got widely adopted right about 2004, 5, okay. 6. When did you get high def, Mr. X?
No idea.
Wow.
I didn't, okay. Actually, I probably didn't really know I had it. Over this weekend, when I'm watching 3 games at a time, all of a sudden I had a true TV on that was just horrible, and I thought there was something wrong with the TV or the feed, and then I realized I had it on a standard def, and I didn't really know there was a difference.
Yeah, see, there you go. Now you learn. When did you get the 3 TV setup?
Well, let's see. Mrs. X was on vacation when I put that in.
You know, that's usually when your major purchases happen. Televisions, boats.
Right. Yeah, it does. And then when she comes back, I'll say, no, we talked about it, remember?
Too late to return it. So yeah. You know, X2, that I was the inspiration for your old man getting the 3 TV array.
I did not know that.
That is true.
Yeah. Why don't
I
you
do
tell?
When I was like 10 or something, when we got our first like flat screen, like high def, like really nice TV, and you put up the whole surround box. I remember that. That was like a.
So you were, so you're 10. So that would have been 2007. So high def came into your life, Mr. X, about 2007.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was the open box special, and came home with, you guys were holding it in the back seat and had to say, okay, well, we have to give me a chance to tell mommy about this.
So the 3 TV setup, is it still going strong? Have you added any more TVs to it?
No, it's the 3. Although I have to admit, during the summer, for a while, it was 4 when one of you guys came home for break or college or something. You hooked up the 4th one for a while, but that was kind of a short run.
Okay. All right, good. And it's still working good, and Mrs. X is okay with it.
Sure. She doesn't venture downstairs very often.
Wait, it was in the living room on the main level when I was there.
No, it's down in the cave. It's down.
Oh, it is. Well, I gotta come over then to see it.
Yeah, sure.
No, okay,
it's downstairs. It's the cave's downstairs. Yeah.
All right. Let's start with business first. Congratulations, X2, on your mighty JMU Dukes, who did the Badgers dirty, just outplayed them, out hustled, got them completely flummoxed from the get go, led wire to wire. I do believe I wasn't thrilled about Wisconsin's chances. I did say on the air on my show, I'm picking JMU. But if I spread any ill will towards your fine university, accept my apologies. To the victor go the spoils.
I appreciate it. Friday night was awesome. Sunday was not, but I wish I could have a time capsule of my thoughts then, because it's hard to accept congratulations when you also lose by 38. But I appreciate the congratulations. That was a great 48 hours.
How hard did you party afterwards?
Very before, during. I think I shut the laptop at like 3, and then I was with a group of 6 or so buddies, and we partied from up until the game, and then all the way through afterwards. It was nice. I kept waiting for it to become stressful, and it never really did. So it was a throttling. It was a lot easier than I expected.
There is the one play that some Wisconsin fans are holding on to when what's his name got fouled. Well, he didn't get fouled. He missed a layup. I thought it was a fine no call, but they're like, oh, that would have cut it to 2. Instead, you went down, hit a 3. It turned a 4-point game into a 9-point game, and that was it. That was the closest
you
got.
Yeah, I remember the one. They blew.
Klezmet. Max Klezmet. Yeah.
I don't think it was a foul. I thought it was an open layup. And then
no, I don't think it was a foul either. But, you know, but Wisconsin fans were grasping for anything at that point. So they're like, oh, he got bumped. And I believe the announcer said he might have gotten bumped. And I'm like, man, they ain't calling that. They called a very loose game from the get-go, and Wisconsin did not adjust. So that's a huge feather in the program's cap. How much of that feather was wiped away by Duke putting you over their knee and spanking you?
A portion. I don't know. A portion. It's hard to fully gauge it this early on. I mean, it's still like you're still happy. We still had a very good season, and we won 32 games. And we won a tournament game for the first time in ever since Lefty, but basically ever. But I don't know. I had this debate all day with like I've always thought it's you'd rather get blown out than lose a close game because close games are so heartbreaking. But that was pretty heartbreaking.
Right, and it looks like your coach is leaving.
He's gone. He's at Vanderbilt.
Fuck.
Place where he'll never win.
Why, Mr. X, would a guy take that job? I don't understand it.
Zero
money.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt used to be a really good program. I remember when I was first getting college basketball, they were always really good. But I don't know what Stackhouse, I don't know what's happened to them. But yeah, I'm sure they'll give him a lot of money. And then they should have a lot of NIL money. The Vanderbilt alum should have a lot of money, but I don't know.
Do they want to spend it, though? Like, do they really have the urge to be good in sports at Vanderbilt? That's what you got to ask.
Well, Dave, my take on this is simple. When you are the small school coach and you have the year, you have to go. No matter how good a coach you are, you don't know that it's coming again.
Well,
you know, that guy from Florida Gulf Coast, the year they did well, and he went to, what, USC? When it
Andy
comes,
Enfield.
Yeah, yeah. You don't say, I'm really good, I'll have this chance again.
Well, one guy did, but he just left this year.
Yeah.
Dusty May.
He returned four starters, and
I think
that was the rare example because he was so confident in the team that the opportunities would be back, and it was. He still got Michigan. But, yeah. If you're not 100%, 2,000% confident the opportunity will come again, you got to take it. I remember the old Boise coach back with, like, Kellen Moore in football. Every year, like, every time Texas or Florida opened up, it was like, will he go? And he didn't. And the next thing you know, he went, like, years later, he went to Washington and he was decent. And now I don't even know where he's at. You got to strike when it's hot. So good luck to him. He's a great coach.
That was kind of one of my peeves over the weekend. It was like when Oakland won that first game, and all the talk turns to this legendary coach who's such a great guy. He's been with the program 40 years. You know what coaching at Oakland for 40 years means? You never had an opportunity to do anything.
You know, you were such a salty bitch about him on Twitter. People were saying to me, what's wrong with Mr. X? This is a great story, and all he is doing is shitting on the coach. Hey, it's a job. He liked it, and he stayed there as long as he could.
Right. Good for him. But these guys that try to make him into legendary – well, you know what you are after 10 years at Oakland? You're Oakland's coach.
Well, your gym teacher is what you are.
Yes.
At the end of the day, you're pumping up basketballs.
Good for him, but once you've been there 40 years, let's not pretend you were, you know, Adolf Rupp. You were at Oakland for 40 years.
Did you say Adolf Rupp?
Rupp, I thought I said.
Okay, I thought I heard rope in there. Anyway,
It's a fine balance to draw, because if you're any better, you go up the ladder, and if you're any worse, you get fired. So it's kind of impressive to be that level of, like, because I'm sure there were probably maybe times that I'm not, you know, deep on my Oakland basketball knowledge, but there's probably times in the past where you might have been close to going up or close to going out, but you got to do, like, the perfect middle ground to stay somewhere that long.
You have to be in a school that really does not care.
Right. Danny Sprinkle at Utah State has left today for Washington. So there's another one that is gone. And
wasn't he only there 1 year?
Yeah. Yeah. 1 year. And I saw on the coverage over the weekend, they had this trinkly piano piece, as I call it, on him and talking about the family and the community and how proud he is of his guys. He gets to play another game and blah, blah. Gone. It's all such bullshit. Like, I don't mind you leaving. Don't sell me the puff piece TV features on, look at this guy who's been adopted up there in Logan, Utah.
Yeah. There's a simple rule in all of these. It's called, you have to go home and eat dinner. And your wife has a credit card. Your wife has a credit card. You don't not take the zeros behind the number because, oh, I'd like it here. You have to step up. It's just period. You got to take it.
Right. Okay. Let's dig into the tournament, and then we're going to save about 10 minutes on the back end for the monster story that is Shohei Ohtani, because he today read a statement with an interpreter, a new interpreter, one who I hope doesn't have his bank account passwords. And I am fascinated to get into it with you, Mr. X, and hear your take, as well as you, X, too. But let's put that aside for the moment.
Okay.
How good is the tournament right now, given the fact that there was a splash of upsets, a sprinkle of Cinderella, but the heavyweights, for the most part, are now taking center stage, and we had blowouts throughout the weekend?
I'll go first on this one. I've always say on here, various situations, everybody loves a Cinderella story, but David and Goliath, nobody wants two Davids.
Right.
And it's always great to have first-round upsets. But you get the second-round upset, and now you have a crappy Sweet 16. So I love it when they win round one, but I want, you know, 14 or 15 of the top seeds to advance so we have it. Because when you get St. Peter's or whoever into the 16, you're like, yeah, that's no longer fun.
Right. You want a little bit of Cinderella, but not a ton. X2, how have you liked the tournament so far?
Yeah, I mean, so the balance on that is you always want you don't mind a Cinderella as long as Cinderella can play. And like this year, NC State's like our only Cinderella, and they're like the ACC champ, so we don't have that problem. With that said, it would have been nice if the round of 32, I wouldn't have mind if David had kept beating up on, or Goliath had kept beating up on David, but it would have been nice if David had put up more of a fight. I mean, from JMU, from Utah State, from Kansas, there wasn't a lot of fight. Yale didn't put up much of a fight. So it would have been nice to, like, see games progress and, like, yeah, to have the better teams build you up for a great bracket and a great tournament and a great end run. But it's nice if the round of 32 the last couple of days. I mean, JMU lost by 38, and we weren't the biggest blowout of the round of 32. Yeah. So,
there you go. So you got that to hang your hat on. Here are the regions. Here are the seeds in each of the regions. East, 1, 2, 3, 5. Midwest, 1, 2, 3, 5. West, 1, 2, 4, 6, and in the South, 1, 2, 4, and 11. It's pretty good right there. It's pretty chalky. Chalky.
I've always been a guy who fills out very chalky brackets because I watch teams like yours, and I'm like, there's no, this team at its best can't lose to this team. Like, and then I always kind of forget and not focus on like one game variance. And this year, for the first time, I went wild with my bracket with eights and nines in the Elite Eight, and I think I might be in the bottom 5% of the world. So the first time in my life and the last time in my life, I decided to go super upset heavy, Goliath just losing every round, and yeah, I will never do that again.
All right, let's talk some close games here and things that blew your mind. How about the Grand Canyon Alabama game? Which the studio hosts were really on point by saying that was terrible. They did not run any offense whatsoever, and Grand Canyon missed 14 free throws.
Well, you know what I thought that was? I was watching that. I think that was I think X2 was like in down mode after the Madison loss and missed. That was like the only game he missed, from what I understand. But when I watched that game, and I thought it was going to be a great game, and it was for almost a half. And then what it looked like was gym class, where, you know, when you're playing for 20 minutes, don't call for the ball. I'm not giving it to you. I'm going to shoot this ball because we got 15 minutes before we go to math, and I'm not giving the ball off. And so Barkley and Kellogg were dead on. I was watching it thinking, I mean, you see guys on there that literally, like, we're going 1-on-4, and the other guys were waving their hands, and they're going, no. It looked like X2 playing with his little brothers. I'm not giving you the ball. I'm shooting it. It was a terrible game. It was the worst second half I'd ever seen. It was so disappointing because Grand Canyon was good
in round one. They were up, I think, 12 at one point, their high lead, or at least they were up a good 8, 9, 10 through a portion of the second half. It looked like it was going to be a colossal upset, and then they just frittered it all away.
Yeah, well, usually when a team plays poor, you got to stop and give credit to the defense. This was just, this looked like guys that just, you know, literally had never, and so when Barkley and them started saying, I don't know what they were doing, I was like, yeah, it was a horrible game. Very frustrating.
Yeah, the Clemson Baylor game is the one that I went on my soul searching walk and saw 0 seconds of. But Grand Canyon Bama, I watched that game. I did see what Bama does really well is like it can be an ugly brand of basketball, which it was against Grand Canyon. But there are certain teams in the country that it's like if they dictate their style to you, you will struggle, if at all, be able to beat them. And as ugly as that was the ugliest I've ever seen at work for Bama. If Bama turns games into gym class sessions, there's maybe three teams in the country that can beat them.
They got the better gym class on their side of the court.
What Grand Canyon did poorly was let them turn it into a gym class game. Bama wants to run up and down, and every one-on-one opportunity they take, or they want, they take, because they know they have great one-on-one talent. But you then turn that into a pride match and try to do it back to them is when you're playing into their hands. You can't let them dictate that game. If they can dictate that game, there's maybe 3-4 teams at best that can beat them in that game in the country. And one of them is not out of the tournament, or is out of the tournament with Kentucky. So, I mean, as gross as that was, and that's the grossest probably they'll play, that like if you are like, oh, okay, I'll play that style against Bama, you will probably lose, no matter who you are in the country.
Right. Yeah, well, they're the kick-out kings. There is no drive that they can't see. Ooh, there's a guy open for three, kick it out. It doesn't matter. You could have a two-footer almost unopposed. Bama loves to kick it out and shoot threes, and they end up winning that game.
And they're so athletic that they can just keep that tempo. What broke that end of the game was when they went foul, missed free. When they missed the free throw, got the offensive rebound, got fouled again, missed, got the offensive rebound, and won. And it was like, you can just see it in Grant. Like, the physicality and the up and down, Bama has enough guys and enough athleticism that they'll do it all day long. And, yeah, Grand Canyon just shouldn't have walked into their world.
Do you know anything about Grand Canyon?
Oh, I know now because I read up on it. You know, they're a rare for-profit university. They're a Christian university. They have been fighting the Department of Education over getting certification and the ability for parents and families to take out loans to go to the school. There's a number of people that just want to, you know, talk shit about it, like, they're the worst evil for-profit. And I'm like, yeah, not like these other colleges are all pure as the driven snow either. But I know somebody that sends their kid there and they say, look, they have the students run certain aspects of the university to give them real world business training. And they have come basically out of nowhere.
Oh, cheap labor.
Right, exactly. But they've basically come out of nowhere and they've put a huge amount of money and effort into their athletics.
Yeah. Well, I first looked them up the first night when I was watching them, and I thought, you get this impression that's a tiny little school. And I.
No. 100.
Like 90,000.
Yeah, 90,000.
But then I found out like 75,000 of them are
online. I know.
I'm like, well, wait a minute. I don't know if that counts. Whatever.
Right. Well, but if look, the way things are going in education, there's a lot of online shit anyway, especially during the pandemic. In a way, I think it's kind of brilliant. They're like, fuck it. We're a business. We're here to make money. And you're here to get an education. And here's what we believe in. If you don't like it, fuck off. Go to state. We don't care. There's plenty of other colleges that will take your dad's 40 grand a year.
Yeah, and as soon as I try to look them up, you know, the first thing the search always returns is the question, is Grand Canyon a real university?
I know, a real university, I know.
But they're the only ones that seem to have the watch party, so good for them.
Right. Is Arizona State a real university? Well, they party like one, but, you know, what can you do there? What can you learn? Okay, so other than that, and you mentioned the Clemson-Baylor game, X2, that you were taking your decompression walk and didn't see. That was a very tense finish because Clemson kind of was ready to choke out the game with about a minute and change. And they get a rebound, a defensive rebound, up a couple, and you're like, okay, they're in a good spot here. And then the dingbat lets the Baylor player poke it out of his hands, and they foul the Baylor player on top of that.
Yeah.
But then they miss a couple free throws. Again, you've got Clemson with a chance to choke him out. They try to run a play inside to their best player, PJ Hall. He loses the ball and then just bumps into the other player for Baylor, who wisely falls to the ground, sort of a flop. They call a foul on Hall. He's out of the game, and they're shooting free throws again, and you're thinking, Clemson's going to piss this game away, but they somehow got it together and won the game, which was my dumbest Final Four pick, if you recall. Clemson, they're still alive.
Well, hey, they're the in my book they're the surprise team of the tourney so far. As far as how not just that they're here, but how good they look.
They have looked good.
Yes,
they have looked good. Okay. Other than that, all the games were blowouts over the weekend. I'm just looking at the scores. Not Colorado Marquette. That one was close. NC State Oakland. Let's talk about that. Oakland tie game had a chance to get a shot and never got a look. Because they did something I disagree with. They called timeout in a tie game with the shot clock off and the free run of play. I don't know about you guys. I never like calling a timeout to set up a play. I'd rather let my guys figure it out in the flow of the game.
I don't. And here's why. It used to be in the day they used to always call the timeout and the coach had to overcoach. And I think it was John Thompson that was the first guy that was like, let them run. And they'd run up and score in transition. And it got to be, don't overcoach them, let them score. But the problem is now you say, let them play. They don't push it and score in transition. They stand four guys stand, dribble, 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 bomb it at the horn. They take crap shots, so I have to call timeout and set up a play.
Okay, that's a fair argument right there. But so you say it changed. You said you once believed in that, let them run it out. Now
But now they don't.
Because they don't know how to run offense.
Like,
right.
You rebound with 10 seconds, you're going to push it and go to the hole, go.
Right.
But when you push it up court and hold it, and then I say no. Who was the team that was somebody that had the last shot in regulation? And the dude just waited and waited and then bricked one, and they got beaten overtime. Do you remember that one?
FAU did that.
FAU did that. That's who it was. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the reasons.
Okay, let the guys run. And then when they hold the ball for 10 seconds and shoot from 20 feet behind the arc, you're like, yeah, I had a better play than that.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I think coaches like to do is they like to guarantee no worse than overtime. So if they call timeout to set up a play, then they're going to be like, we're getting a squeeze with 5 seconds or less. So it's either going in, we're going to almost certainly win, or we're going to OT. And that, to me, is a coward's way to play. But whatever. They tried to run a play that wasn't very good. The Oakland shot with 1.4 from half court, caught a lot of glass and a lot of rim for my liking.
Yep.
So the nuance in the timeout, no timeout is, I like it, the timeout, when we're talking going full court, going with like limited time, trying to draw something up that's like new, that's like a full court play. When you're calling the timeout to set up a half court play and you want to go through the scenario of like, hey, shoot with 5 on the clock so we can rebound, here's the play. The only thing that goes through my head is like, we're in March. You've been together for 7 months. We don't have a play you can call from the sidelines. We don't have the IQ to know when to shoot the ball. The full court play, like, hey, let's drop a 90-foot play with 3 seconds, makes sense. But when you dribble the ball out, that just always seems like a waste of timeout.
Right.
The one time also that is really great to use the timeout is teams have learned this year. Teams on defense should foul up 3. They don't as much as they should.
Oh.
You should always foul up 3.
Thank
always,
you.
Always, 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 always foul up 3.
Texas A&M Houston. How about that?
Always
do that.
There's no exception. There's no. The only exception is obviously if they're shooting. You time it when the ball goes to the floor on the dribble, or you time it right when they cross half court. The exception now with that offenses have learned, if you're down 5 with 3 seconds left, you have to throw the ball to half court, call the timeout, so you can run an inbounds play to catch and shoot. Because if you don't catch and shoot, they're going to foul you. So saving timeout there makes sense. But, yeah, I mean, every time a team doesn't foul up 3, like if UVA fouled up 3 against NC State in ACC tournament, they wouldn't be in the Sweet 16. Always foul up 3. There's no reason to never foul up 3. If you're on offense, you're begging to have a shot,
right.
free throw game.
Did you hear the announcers in that Houston-Texas A&M game? Where they didn't foul up 3. Basically, they're saying, yeah, you know what? Kelvin Sampson doesn't believe in fouling up 3.
Yeah.
Doesn't believe in it.
In regulation,
doesn't believe in it. And then one of his dumb players, number 8, went to go double a guy for no reason, leaving his dude wide open. What are you doing?
Well, you know what? Even though the foul or no foul is an interesting debate, when I watch that play, what drives me absolutely insane is, okay, if I'm playing defense with 2 seconds, 3 seconds left with a 3-point lead, no person on my defense is going to have 2 feet inside the arc.
Right.
Why are you covering them on the block? Let them shoot on the block. Because you know you're just going to get screened. I would play 5-man zone on the arc.
Right.
Stop me. Why are you in the lane? Your feet should never be in the lane when 2 points wins the game for you on defense.
Because there was only how many seconds left? It was like 1.8.
And I see the setup and I'm like, hey, guy that's in the lane, you're about to get screened because they're going to go for 3. Why are you not out behind the arc?
Yeah.
Right. I don't mind being inside the arc to play man, because if you play zone, they can just double pin a spot. But you should be, like, it should, at the very least, if you're not doing that, you should be inverted and be on 3-point side, not basket side, which is like a word.
Right. Well, I would have had all 5 guys outside the arc and not cover the inbounder. Who cares about covering the inbounder? Just stand. You got 5-on-4 outside the arc. I like my odds.
Yeah, the offensive player on the block has no purpose other than to screen somebody. So get away from there and get to the yard.
Right, right.
It makes no sense. I don't know why they, as you said, 7 months later, you can't. We're not talking 7, 8 seconds. We're talking 2. Get to the arc. It's like Noah. Yeah.
Always foul up 3. If there's anything I'll ever, I wanted my tombstone to say like, loving husband, father, foul up 3. Always foul up 3. Always foul up 3. Always foul up 3. No ifs, no ands, no buts. The only time you don't foul up 3 is if you're so scared that there's like 1 second left, you're going to make it 4. But if you can make it 3, you always foul up 3.
Mr. X, this is what your son's going to have hanging in his house someday when he's married. Instead of live, laugh, love, it's going to be always foul up 3.
Sounds like it.
It drives me nuts when teams don't foul up 3. And then announcers are like, well, I trust my defense. And you got to think on the flip side, would you rather take a 3-pointer with world-class shooters or make a free throw, which is 70%, miss it, get a rebound, then
kick it out.
Yeah. Not to mention, teams. All, the last part of the foul up 3 equation that drives me nuts is the first free throw was far from guaranteed.
Right, exactly. All right, so big picture, UConn and Purdue look like they are on an absolute collision course. Is there anything to dissuade you from predicting a UConn-Purdue final?
Yeah.
What's that?
Give me the field. I'll take the field.
Okay, well, just odds would say that. All right, take Purdue out because of their choking past. UConn looks like a goddamn wagon right now. I mean, they had poor Northwestern, had 27 points like midway through the second half, and then they let their foot off their throat.
Well, Purdue, the thing is, I mean, when they're going good and shooting, and they look unstoppable. But I swear in that first round game, I had a flashback to my Virginia days with Ralph Sampson, because they look, their players, sometimes when you have a guy that dominant, the rest of the players sometimes look out of sync like, are we supposed to just throw it to him every time? And they look tentative. And so they have their stretches where they don't look, you know, they look like, well, sure, I think I'm supposed to throw it to Edie, right? And the rest of them quit playing. They have that.
But their guards are good. Smith and Lawyer, I believe they're both state Mr. Basketballs. So they know how to play the game, the two of them. And then they got that wing who's maybe a quasi-NBA caliber wing, which they hadn't had before. So, I don't know. It seems like they got the tools this year.
They do. I think Houston can play with them. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Houston was my title winner from the jump, and it still will be. Purdue's just so, it's an interesting matchup dynamic because there's two ways to beat Purdue. And neither of them are easy. The first one is you just have to dial the pressure to 15 out of 10, to eat their guards alive so they can't get the ball into the post and just break them that way, which was so much easier last year as FDU showed. But this year, I mean, a lot of teams tried that in the regular season in the Big Ten and just got nowhere. The only other way to beat them is if you're one of the like 3 teams in the country that have a big man that can match them. Kalkbrenner at Creighton can match him. Klingon at UConn can match him. So those teams, I feel like, I mean, they could roll out 2 7-footers and just turn it into a battle of titans. But the only other way is you just have to have such insane guard pressure that you can just turn them over all day long, which is why I think Houston could beat them if they play. Well, would be my pick if they played. But, yeah, I mean, there's only 2 methods to beat them, and one requires having a 7-foot titan. So –
right.
Yeah.
By the way, Fletcher and Lawyer were both nominated in the same year for Mr. Basketball in 2022 in Indiana. So they come from good stock. And Lance Jones was the guy, the wing I was thinking about, as he gives them a little bit extra element. Okay. Let's go to the Midwest bracket, or we are in the Midwest bracket. Gonzaga makes the Sweet 16 for the 9th straight year.
Yeah, I think that was on our website. I'm pretty sure that was my strongest bet of the weekend was Gonzaga over Kansas, and it didn't sweat much on that
89-68, your final. And how about the comments from Bill Self after the game saying, you know, I've been looking forward to next year for the last couple of months. That's a bad look right there.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's one thing Bill Self does, it's be honest. He's before in the past, if he doesn't like his team, everyone in the world will know he does not like his team. So, I mean, it's kind of a tough – I mean, I would say, like, in the excuse of him, it's like – it's because they've been so injured and banged up and the season's kind of sucked. But it's not like these guys suck. It's our guys are hurt. But, yeah, no, I mean,
Oh, here, let me. I apologize.
Like his team, if he doesn't like something, his team, something in the world, anything going on, ask him here. Ask him his opinion. He'll tell it.
Yeah. By the way, I apologize. Not for the last couple of months, just the last month. So it's only been a month he's been daydreaming about next year. But, you know, I'm sure that's solace to all the seniors on the team who are like, oh, fuck, sure. I thought we were going to try this year. I guess you're already on to next year. Must be nice to make $8 million a year and have a multi-year contract, but okay. All right, so Zaga is through. Do they have enough to handle Purdue?
Nah.
Probably not. I mean, they have the big man, Ike, who can kind of govern, but I don't think they can shoot well enough to sustain. I don't know. I mean, sure, anyone can beat anyone, but no.
All right, Creighton, Tennessee. That's going to be juicy. Now, the Tennessee-Texas game was a goddamn rock fight, just awful to watch. But Tennessee prevails. I'm a huge Dalton Connect fan because I don't know who he comps to as a player. It must be like Thunder Dan Marley, a kind of a muscled white guy who can bounce and throw it down. But who do you like in Tennessee-Creighton?
You first.
I like Creighton, but I'm on tilt. You know I hate Rick Barnes. I'm on tilt.
Yeah, still, were asking me via email, what is it? Can Mr. X explain the backstory in detail?
In 63, he said he was going to coach and he changed his mind.
No, in the 80s, he's the one that screwed UVA terribly because the eight ACC jobs were like the best eight jobs in the country back in the day. And when Holland retired, and, you know, usually everybody has their hat in the ring, and then when they pick somebody, everybody else goes back to their campus and say, no, I decided I want to stay here. So they're heroes instead of, hey, I didn't get the job.
Yeah.
Barnes had taken the job. Everybody else had announced, well, had gone back and said, no, I interviewed with Virginia, but I'm staying in Kansas State, I think, was and a couple of the others. And then the morning of the press conference, Barnes called the AD and changed his mind.
Oh. And
that is why insert a very young Jeff Jones into the head coaching job, who was so far over his head coaching against Dean Smith and Gary Williams. And he was a good young coach. And his first ever head coaching job was at his alma mater, facing just, I mean, he was overmatched in every game, and it set the program back years until they finally, got rid of him. It wasn't his fault. He was in so far over his head. But they couldn't go back to, like, the runner-up choices that had already gone back to campus and said, I'm staying here. Oh, wait, they called me back. They changed their mind. I was lying. Yeah. So it just set the program back a lot. I've always hated him for that.
Yeah, well, that was back in the day, X2, when your old man was kicking 50-yard field goals as a soccer player with no problem. So
yeah, he was.
It's when he wore a skinnier man's pants, but that's a tale for another time. By the way, Tennessee is -2 against Creighton. And the Purdue Gonzaga line is Purdue -5 for the record.
Yeah, my Tennessee, as I touched on last time, is just like always the same gross, grindy team. And so my fear for them is that they can't score. The Texas game didn't really alleviate that. But at the same time, like, that was one of their worst offensive performances of the year, you could say. And they still beat a good team. I would imagine they will not shoot that poorly again. Well, if they do, they'll definitely be going home. But I don't have an official pick on that yet. I haven't gotten an official pick yet.
Right.
Tennessee will score a lot. It's not nearly as ugly as they played in that game.
Okay.
Usually.
All right, Mr. X.
I do have one little nugget. I'm sure you've probably seen it because it's been all over Twitter. Purdue won the Maui Invitational, and they beat in order: Zaga, Creighton, Marquette. Or Tennessee, Marquette, excuse me.
So they beat Gonzaga, Creighton, Tennessee, and Marquette.
No, it was Gonzaga, Tennessee, and Marquette, which is what they could very much be their
team.
So they have a chance to get to the championship and only beat teams they've already beat. I think the issue with Purdue was always going to be just getting over the mental hurdle last year. Now that you're through on that and you're just playing ball, they're as tough to beat as anyone. So that's an interesting little wrinkle. They've already beat Gonzaga. They've already beat Tennessee, and they've already beat Marquette.
All right, Mr. X, do you have a canine uprising you need to go quell?
No.
It's going to be okay? Okay, Kobe, your German Shepherd is seeing something or someone he doesn't quite like.
We have foxes in the backyard. He doesn't like that much. Yeah.
Okay, let's go up to the south bracket above. Houston versus Duke. Line is Houston minus -4.
Oh, I like Houston. I'm sure I will like Houston. There's more I had to look at. This reminds me of last year when Dukes looked good until Tennessee just manhandled them because they were too physical.
Mm-hmm.
Houston's more physical than Tennessee. I don't see Duke matching up well there.
All right. X2, yeah. Your early lean. It is a Monday that we're talking here.
Yeah, so I have to preface this carefully because I don't want to sound overly bitter. Which I'm not overly bitter.
I know.
We were on house money. It sucked. It sucked a lot. I sometimes circle games that I think could happen when I look at the bracket at first, being like, if I get this matchup, I can't wait to bet X. This is one that I circled from the beginning. Like, this could be a Houston max play. I think Duke doesn't really bring, like, the fight to teams. Well, they kicked our ass, but they bring talent. They have talent.
Right.
Houston's going to bring a fight to them. And just like Tennessee beat Duke in the tournament last year, where the big Russian big man for Tennessee threw the elbow on Filipowski early, and he was like, I want to go home. I think Houston's going to dial the pressure up all the way, and Duke's by halftime going to be pulling up their mock drafts.
That's how I feel about this particular. That's how I feel about this particular Duke team. They feel like they're very corporate. They feel like they're IBM. We're good because we've always been good, but it doesn't seem like there's any real internal spark with them. So we'll see. Yeah. NC State Marquette. Line is Marquette minus -6. The Cinderella story of the tournament is the big fella for NC State. There's something called the do theory, Mr. X, and having won 7 straight win-or-go-home games, holy shit, NC State is due for a clunker.
Yeah, they are. I really like the guard on Marquette, and I can't think of his
Kolek, name. Tyler Kolek.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. That's a great matchup. With that number, I don't really have a pick. By the way, I wanted to say one thing about Houston. Let me back a second. Because most people didn't stay up for the end of that last night, Houston and A&M.
Right.
That was the wildest finish. But first of all, sure, Houston gave up the lead late, but they had everyone fouling out. And everyone on the floor with 4 fouls was saying, don't touch him, don't touch him. And they were still being called for fouls. And they were like, I didn't touch him. It was the craziest whistles all around. And then it gets to the clutch, and then they go to OT. And next thing you know, they bring in and somebody else fouls out, their best dude. And up 2, they got the walk-on who's been on the floor for 5 seconds shooting free throws.
How funny is that?
And it's like, and you could just see by him, like, he just looked like, yeah, you're a walk-on. see that he was on.
Right.
And I was thinking, why is he in the game? They've had 4 guys foul out, but the point is they had taken out the 1 or 2 people that couldn't shoot free throws, and they ended up stuck inbound into him. And, of course, and he's walking the line, I'm like, this is not good. You're a walk-on. You're like, I wanted to be on the end of the bench. I didn't want to have to hit the winning free throw. He hit him.
He buried him. Well,
hit 1 out of 2, but that's all.
Okay, 1 out of 2. All right, well, at least
I remember looking at the tournament and seeing Houston had, like, 2 scholarship players who were, like, their 9th and 10th man who were, like, fringe rotation at best be hurt, and I was like, that won't matter.
It did in this game. By the way,
it couldn't have mattered more.
By the way, I watched the end of that game in bed on my phone, and I saw the 3, and I was like, oh, shit. And then I turned the phone off, and I went to sleep. And people think I'm a lunatic for doing that. But honestly, I was like, it was so past my bedtime, and I had to wake up and do a radio show. I'm like, I don't have time for overtime. But I did see an amazing play. So good luck, Houston. I'll be surprised when I wake up in the morning and check the phone. All right. X2, real quick on NC State Marquette. Then we got to get a whole other half of the bracket and then get to Otani. So we need to start playing tempo.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I have to recuse myself from NC State because I think I've picked against them like 6 games in a row. So
keep going. Keep doubling it. You'll be good to go. That's what Shohei Ohtani would do.
I always struggle to pick because I always try to revert back to like what I've seen all year. And I don't know where this came from. They were playing great ball. But, I mean, to me, there's 3 teams in the field that can't win the title, and they're one of them. So.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
What you have to do, though, is keep picking against them. That's called the Zabe Tom Brady rule. Pick against them for 11 years, and eventually you can say,
Every time I switch, it gets worse. Like, I think Michigan State's a team that I think I get 100% of their games wrong for or against. So,
all right. Illinois-Iowa State in the East. Current line, Iowa State minus -2.5.
Even game. No idea.
Okay. Another close game there. Let's hope these games are as close as the point spreads. X, 2.
Yeah. I mean, this was probably my favorite game of the of this round. I mean, these are two of the hottest teams and UConn in the country. I mean, Iowa State's going to play like very physical, and Illinois just got all the shooting and floor spacing talent. The way Illinois like rebranded their team after the debacle team with DeSumo and Kofi Coburn that fell short, and they now have all these great wings who can shoot and pass, and this is two very opposite, but Illinois is a fun team to watch. Iowa State's not a fun team to watch, but these could not be more opposites playing each other. So I'm excited for that one. I don't have an official pick.
All right, UConn, San Diego State. This is a big number. UConn minus 10 may not even be big enough. I'd be tempted to keep rolling with UConn laying the big lumber.
Yeah, I went big on UConn. We went big on them last night, and they were up, I don't know, like 57 points or something, and I wasn't watching it. Then I looked over, and they were up 13.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened there.
What was the number it closed at?
I think 13.
Okay, yeah. It was almost like this crazy backdoor cover because they were completely destroying, but they did cover. So not much juice in that game. Let's go to the West bracket and finish this up here.
Okay.
I love Carolina minus 3 against Alabama. I just think Bama's dog shit. So I'm going to take Carolina, probably pretty heavy. This would be my off-the-couch Johnny Square play, doesn't know shit, gamble of the weekend.
Yeah, that's going to be a square play, but I'm not sure if it's wrong.
You're not sure if it's wrong.
Bama's a frustrating team. And by the way, their coach, I'm sorry. I don't like anything about that program. I watch him.
Nate Oates, pride of Watertown, Wisconsin.
He's that guy who argues with the ref like Juwan Howard, start to finish. It's just annoying.
Right. Well, if it's your Johnny Square play, that's not bad. Because I think the team with more than 50% of bets is like 32-16, something like that. It's crushing this tournament. It's a crazy rate. So, yeah, I mean, I think the public will be all over him because they watched them play Grand Canyon and was like, ew. And watch Carolina play one of their best games of the season. So
yeah.
Error
of recency. And then the last game would be Arizona Clemson, Zona minus 7.5. I have trust issues with Arizona.
Yeah, that's because they're Arizona.
Right. Thoughts on the game?
I got to watch the Clemson game again. They're playing so well. I got to go watch them again and see if it's real. But that's a big number. I don't think I could lay it. But Arizona should advance, but hey, Baylor should have advanced and they didn't have a chance. So,
yeah, I'm torn on Clemson. I need to rewatch the Clemson Baylor because I barely watched it. But New Mexico Clemson was one where I felt like Clemson played well, not to take away from them. But I also felt New Mexico is wearing the crown for most disappointing tournament team in terms of just performance as a favorite, a team that everyone came in high on and just getting run out of the gym as a favorite. And I felt like they missed so many easy shots. And Baylor, I did not see much at all. They played two guard teams in a row. New Mexico and Baylor are super guard heavy. And Clemson's very interior based, which I thought would play. I always take guards over bigs in the tournament. And I was wrong for both of those. But Arizona's so much bigger and physical than them. I see myself on Arizona or pass. I don't think Clemson has the... Well, I think Arizona is such a different physicality and size than the two teams they've last played interior defensively that I don't know how they'll score interiorly. So.
Okay.
I have a candidate for most disappointing team in this tournament, and that's BYU.
Oh, that's a good one. But they were at least close.
They were
a good one.
Destroyed by a Duquesne team that was awful.
Right.
The other one's got to be – yeah, they're up there. The other, I mean, Kentucky's obviously lose the first game. Well, but I mean, I know they were close, and you shouldn't be close to Oakland. But then McNeese is another one that was like, I thought a lot of people were like, "Oh, this McNeese team," and
yeah. Well, you said flat out they're garbage, and many people seized upon that schedule and the teams. So after we had talked last week, a number of other outlets were talking about, are these real teams they played this year?
You sound like guys they make up.
Exactly.
I'm going to steal up from someone. I don't remember who I saw it from, but I saw someone tweet when they lost to Gonzaga. They were like, McNeese is not the same team I saw beat University with Mississippi for women. This is just not the same
team. Not the same team. I don't know what happened. They're not the same team. Okay, you each have literally 1 minute to say anything else about the tournament. Announcers, coverage, pet peeves, funny things, cheerleaders, whatever. 1 minute each, and then we got to get Otani in, and then we'll put a wrap on it. Mr. X, as always, seniority ahead of beauty. Go.
You know, it's one thing to have to watch the same commercials for 12 hours, but I have to watch the same commercials on three different TVs.
Yes, you do.
For 12 hours. So I think I've seen the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Box out. Do you know who does that voice? He's the guy on SNL who's kind of funny. I need to look up his name.
Nope. Okay. I think I'd like to know the over-under on how many times I've seen it so far. I'm going to set it at about 225.
Beck Bennett is his name. Beck Bennett. He's on SNL. He's pretty damn funny. Okay. I like
and
the
I know
one.
I told you.
Yeah.
I know I said this earlier, but it was so. I liked the commercial, but still, it was on so much that finally at one point, Kobe walked through the room and his tail wipes out some stuff on the coffee table. And I was a little frustrated, and Mrs. X just goes, box out.
I actually like X2, the Wendy's commercial where the guys go, get it for a buck. Dave Single, get it for a buck. I laugh my ass off every time I see that ad, and I've seen it a million times.
That's a good ad. I mean, I'm not going to lie. When we were all drinking together Friday night watching JMU, I think we were all, every time commercial, we were throwing our hips into something. Box out.
Give it for a buck. Dave Single. What song is that? That hypnotic song? You would know X2. Come on. You're young. They play it in stadiums all the time. Okay. X2, your last 1 minute on the tournament. Go.
Last 1 minute. I'm going to say... I like all the favorites, and I keep liking all the favorites, and they keep winning, and I hate liking the favorites. I'm really hoping we can get Carolina Zona. I'm really hoping we can – UConn can play either of those teams. Houston Marquette is what I'm hoping for. Purdue Creighton would be awesome, and then I'll use my last 10 seconds to just say a couple more times, foul up three. Don't think about it. If they cross half court and there's over 7 seconds, foul up three.
Okay. Foul up three. All right. Let's deal with Otani. Mr. X, this is the mother of all stories. Now, quite possible that the revised story that Otani reiterated today is the actual story. You can never discount that. It's called Occam's Razor, that the most obvious explanation is often the right one. That said, I won't believe anything until this Ipe Mizuhara is actually in jail for fraud and theft of $4.5 million. Until that happens, I'm going to keep a skeptical eye on everything.
Well, give me the 10-second of what he said today, because I don't know what the...
Basically saying, I never gambled, didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, right.
This interpreter... Here is the tweet of the day from Andrew Brandt. He says, either Otani is not telling the truth, or he has the worst... best friend, interpreter, accountant, manager, agent, and bank in history.
Well,
because remember, the banks have to approve these massive wire transfers that would be going to very shady, non-reputable sources like a bookie.
Well, it sounds to me like Chris Carter just got in touch with Otani and
said you need a fall guy.
You remember what Chris Carter?
Yeah, have a fall guy. Right. But here's the so I think what most likely happened is that Otani didn't bet, but his interpreter did. And then Otani said, God damn it, you were my best friend, interpreter, accountant, manager, runaround boy. God damn, stop it. I'm going to pay this because I just signed a deal for $750 million, and you're never going to do this again. Oh. And then the agents for Otani said, no. That exposes you to legal jeopardy for illegal interstate wagering. You cannot say that.
Okay, now, and I know this is probably something I'm not supposed to say, but... why do you read a statement and then have the interpreter say it? Can't the interpreter just read the statement?
I guess you want the formality of it, him coming from his mouth. Well, yeah. There's probably about two reporters that cover baseball that speak Japanese, so they would be able to hear the original version.
I think you could just go straight to, hey, I wrote this down and I'm going to let him read it in English. I mean,
it could have been a Twitter post, for God's sakes, you know? One of those ones where you look at it and go, okay, I'm either happy for you or I'm sorry this happened, but I ain't reading all that.
Yeah. Okay, you know, this is the net-net of this is we've all been dancing around this for 2 years. Calvin Ridley's, everybody else, oh, $500 bet, you're out for a year. It costs you $10 million or whatever. And by the way, the next promotion is brought to you by Caesars. I mean, sure. Come on. What are we doing? What's legal? What's illegal? And this attitude that the leagues have had is gone. It's time to stop using the red, white, and blue and embrace the three-point shot. Red, white, and blue ball. I mean, we are in a different time, and the Pete Rose rules can't keep applying when every commercial is Peyton and Eli and Caesars Sports. What are we doing?
Yeah, so I got I use ESPN Bet sometimes, and I got an email from them like Thursday morning, Wednesday evening that was like, Stephen A. Smith wants to remind you to put your bets in for the tournament tomorrow. And I was like, what the fuck am I looking at? Like 10 years ago, announcers were getting fired for saying this game's over on television. And now Stephen A. Smith is reminding me to put my bets in the morning. And I was like, thank you, Stephen A. Smith. I did almost forget to put one in. So I was thankful. But I was like, what?
Now listen up, X2. X2, you got to get your money down today, X2. Yeah. Come on now.
Okay. I used to have to tell the kids, don't text me things like that.
Did you see Reese Davis have to walk back his idiotic comments on ESPN about it's called guaranteed investing, not gambling?
Yeah, that's and I get
or no
that.
Risk, what's not the, guaranteed. He said risk-free investing.
Risk-free investing. Yeah, sure. From the guy who can't pick anything. But the bottom line is, it's going to take something like, okay, wait a minute. Is baseball going to continue to follow the like suspended for life kind of rules that Pete Rose went through?
Well, here's the funny thing.
When it's Ohtani, what are we going to do? And are we going to wait for the biggest name in the game to go, yeah, we got to rethink our rules? When are they going to figure out what they can and can't do? And I know nobody wants to touch that.
Yeah. How about two things? First of all, how about the fact that baseball says they'll investigate, but people have already said, well, they don't have any power to do anything. Ipe is no longer an employee, so baseball has nothing to compel him with. They don't have subpoena power. No. There is real legal jeopardy if any of these guys talk. It's like MLB's investigation. They're going to take their plastic badges and their squirt guns in there and look like dipshits until the feds take over.
Well, then they'll just have Roger Goodell and his bent needles, and they'll come in and they'll put it all together.
Well, yeah, but so there's that aspect to it. And then there's the other part about, like you said, it's only a year suspension if you bet on baseball, as long as you didn't bet on your team or against your team. That blows me away. It's only a year.
Well, a year for betting on a football game or another baseball? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I just know that
I would have thought betting on any baseball game, even if it's not your team, would have been for life the Pete Rose standard. But apparently it's not. I don't think they want to know. I don't think they can know. I think Ohtani is too big to fail. I don't think his interpreter is going to jail. They're going to find a middle ground where Ohtani does not want to send his fall guy to jail.
No.
Right? No. But he doesn't want to look like he knew about his degenerate problem and was covering his asses.
So I'm not as up on this story because it broke during March Madness and I had blinders on. But so his fall guy interpreter friend was betting illegally on, I didn't know it was on baseball. I thought it was just other sports.
We don't know.
And was he betting
We don't know.
Was he betting illegally?
Yes, he was betting. Here's a crazy thing, X2.
Like he wasn't using, you know, whatever legal.
No.
Big numbers going through the mob.
Here's the crazy thing. California, which is as liberal as any state in the country, does not allow sports wagering. a market the size of fucking California who needs the money because of their state budget. They're like, yeah, we don't want this money. Even New York, their cousin on the East Coast, they're like, fucking gamble, let's go.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Well,
that's because they were tired of people driving up to that certain spot on the GW Bridge to just gamble and turn around.
I guess so. I don't understand it. But yeah, so he was gambling with a bookie. And people also ask, well, how did the bookie let this interpreter, who only makes a couple hundred grand a year, get in so deep? And I'm like, that's what they love to do.
That's what they're there for.
That's right. The deeper you are, the better it is. And you can then have, you know, an inside line on certain prop bets. Hell, there's a story that broke today about an NBA prop bet investigation. I sent you that. Didn't you get that text? I think I sent it to you.
I got the text. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that story. I mean, I didn't follow the Ohtani thing as closely. I got a conspiracy. Maybe this is why he deferred all the money, so he gets suspended for a year. He's not losing that much.
Right, because he's rehabbing his arm anyway. So he didn't really have a lot of enthusiasm for a hitting-only season.
This would be the year to get suspended for a year.
Yeah, it's only $2 million instead of 50.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, he's only down to this. Oh, my God.
So he's only grown only two.
But he's bailing his friend out illegal? This is a dumb question. I'm in the dumb question zone. Is bailing his friend out illegal?
Potentially. If he says paid to cover his bets.
Yeah. That's wire fraud.
Well, yeah, right. You're now like party to it.
Movie. What was it, The Firm? Where they end up getting him on wire fraud or mail fraud.
Sounds like he's a good friend.
Yeah,
but you can't just say I'm giving him $4.5 million because he interpreted that question about my four seam fastball really well, so it's a bonus. Yeah. Oh, and it just so happens to match the money that was then wired to a bookie illegally in the state of California or out of the state of California to New York. No. That would put Ohtani in some real federal legal jeopardy. So that first interview that his camp offered up with the interpreter to ESPN was a disaster idea. Disaster. Yeah,
that was the response of the, like, you were talking to the wife and didn't talk to the lawyer first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. I'm pretty sure they'll put him on double secret probation.
All right, look, normally we'd be gearing up to leave for Vegas on Wednesday for Zave Vegas. 4 years running now. It's been down on the ground and can't get up. One of these days, X2, you will come to Zave Vegas with your dad and meet Zave Nation, and it'll be glorious. But that day and that year is not this year.
Maybe next year. Can't wait.
I can't wait. All right. Boys, great run today, and we appreciate it. For more on their info and stuff, go to callmemrx.com. Okay, boys, you're released. Thank you. See you next week.